I'm Rachel Thomas, and this is the Hustle Versus Flow podcast. I am so super pumped that you're here, and I cannot wait to show you how to get the ultimate fulfillment out of your career and take it farther than you ever thought possible. Listen, we all love the hustle, but now it's time to tune into that flow and reap all the benefits of your hard work. Join me as I share the mindset techniques to strike an energetic balance to your corporate grind so that you can thrive. You in? Okay, let's do it. Let's find alignment in business and life with the ultimate matchup, hustle versus flow. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Hustle Versus Flow podcast. I am your host, Rachel Thomas, and this one might be a little bit shorter today, only because I just got one kiddo to bed, and then my husband is getting our daughters to bed, but I wanted to actually wait until the last possible second to record this episode, only because I had a pretty big message, you know, that I wanted to share this morning, or, you know, you're listening to this on Friday, but I'm recording it Thursday night. So this morning I went on my stories on my Instagram page at Hustle Versus Flow, and, you know, told you guys that I would be recording an episode tonight about experiments, you know, and treating life as just a big old experiment, right? And in the, you know, lesson of experiments, I requested that y'all send my mom some, you know, good vibes and prayers for her hip replacement surgery today. And I am so ecstatic and happy to report that the surgery went really well. I spoke with my dad, you know, kind of early afternoon, and as she was, you know, finishing with her surgery and going into recovery, and he wasn't able to see her, and so I think he was still just a little bit shaky. But I, you know, had talked to him and said, "Oh, okay, well, I'll talk to you later this evening, you know, whenever you get to see her." He never called me back, and he's not the best at, you know, phone conversations anyway. So I tried calling him, nothing. And finally I was like, well, I mean, maybe he has my mom's phone. So I called her phone. She didn't answer, but she sure did call me back. And so that was like the most wonderful surprise. And, you know, I kind of said like, hey, let's treat this as an experiment. You send good vibes. I'll tell you how the surgery went. And, you know, I think I knew deep down everything would be fine, but, you know, my mom is super scared about it, and I don't think surgery is ever easy, and my mom is just celebrated her 72nd birthday, and, you know, after a bad fall down her basement steps a few years ago, and having broken her leg in four different places, and doctors putting this metal rod in her leg, and famously saying, I say famously because she mentions it a lot, but this doctor famously saying, you'll die with that rod in your leg. And it kind of like, I'm, you know, this doctor had very good intentions, I'm sure, but yeah, that always kind of rubbed me the wrong way, because you think, oh, what a thing to say to someone, like, so finite, right? You'll die with this rod in your leg. And so, you know, I think for her especially, you know, knowing that you're going into a surgery to remove said rod from your leg, and this, you know, that message is just kind of repeating in your head. It's almost like an affirmation that you don't want to manifest, right? And so, you know, when I was able to speak with my mom on her cell phone tonight and kind of hearing her groggy voice and just like the gratitude to, you know, to be able to talk to, you know, talk to her daughter. And obviously I had immense gratitude as well for, you know, being able to that experience that sense of just relief. But it's just kind of funny because as I, I'm thinking about, you know, treating your life as an experiment. You know, I do kind of think about my mom and what would have happened if she would have just, you know, remained in agony, you know, for the remaining years of her life. I mean, she's very active, a very spry 72-year-old. She, you know, she has 11 grandchildren and she, you know, she's still very social. And so, you know, I think it kind of killed her that she wasn't able to do all the things that she loved, like going to her workout classes at the Y and kind of having to hobble through shopping trips or, you know, really even having to kind of put the kibosh on vacations that required, you know, walking around of really any kind. But, you know, just making that decision to tell her doctor. I mean, it sounds funny. Like, I think most people in my generation would, you know, if they're in pain, they're letting someone know, right? But I think it's really common for, you know, our parents or and even our grandparents to kind of grin and bear it, right? You know, the doctor said I'd, you know, die with this rod in my leg, so here I am, stuck with it, right? And it's kind of funny, like, really, you know, her children, we encouraged her, like, what if you just, you know, mentioned, like, hey, this doesn't seem right. I'm in a lot of pain always, you know, and what if you just talk to him about, like, your options? Like, what are my options? What would happen if I did this? What would happen if, you know, I thought about a hip replacement surgery? And it's like you instantly start down that path of, okay, well, let's see if you're a good candidate, right? And I kind of digress on this, but what I mean by all of this is that when you can treat something as an experiment, it means that, like, possibilities they're not limited, right? You can make a decision and go a completely different pathway from where you're at right now. And spoken from somebody who historically overanalyzed and agonized over, you know, every decision. I mean, like, almost every decision, and especially in the workplace, in regards to, you know, talking to your superior or manager about opportunities for raises or, you know, things like that. And sometimes it still does, but it always gives me pause, like, you know, what will this person think of me if I bring this up? Or, you know what, I'll just not do it at all. But really, when you can kind of release the expectation or release that how it's going to happen or when, it just gives you this better sense of peace. Like, if you just treat everything like an experiment, then you really just, like I said, it just kind of gives you this out. Like, okay, well, I am going to go ahead and talk to my, you know, boss about getting a raise. And if it doesn't go well, then there you have it, right? It gives you some clarity on, okay, if I'm not meant to move up, or maybe if I'm not meant to go into this next, you know, position, then maybe there's something better out there for me. Do you know what I mean? And believe me, I know that it's hard to see that in the here and now, because I've been there. I've been there so many times where I'm like, I think that, you know, if something doesn't happen, I'm like, that's it. Like, this, all of my dreams are shattered. And it always works out. It always works out. And so finally, I've just been kind of taking these small actions as, you know, as I'm acting like an experiment. Like, even, I mean, think about, you're doing this already without really acknowledging it. Think about, like, okay, when you start a new workout routine, that's an experiment, and you're watching for, you know, those results. You're eating better, you're eating healthier, you're eating, you know, foods with higher nutrients, and you're looking for those results, right? When you put that dedication and you're knowingly taking actions, you're looking for those results. And so if you can start making those decisions, you know, in your own life, and not big decisions even, just like what you say yes and no to, what you make yourself available for. Let's say somebody asks you to, you know, work on a project that you're not really excited about, and you continue to say yes, and then they give you another project that's even worse. You're like, oh gosh, and you continue to say yes. And then, of course, what does that lead to? that leads to, you know, a disdain for either that particular person, the job task, you know, kind of life in general. Like I see this all the time, especially if you're an overachiever and you care, you know, a lot about what people think. And especially in the workplace, you want to be perceived as, you know, someone who's easy to work with, somebody who's goes above and beyond to get everything done. Of course, everybody wants to be known as that, but you have to know where to set boundaries too. And so when you can start using those things as, you know, experiments, that's when you're able to take the biggest action and the action that brings the biggest results. I mean, so like even, you know, something as small as, you know, reaching out to somebody on LinkedIn or Messenger or something like that, like these little experiments. Like, I can't tell you how many people I have reached out to on like Instagram DMs just to see if like, hey, I wonder if they would take a chance on me. A lot of them flopped, but hey, it was a little experiment. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, you know, I did it. I didn't die. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't die of embarrassment. You know, maybe this one wasn't a winner, but it's gotten me closer to where I am now. And I mean, just know that those small actions that I've talked about in several episodes, right? Like over and over again, those small actions either get you closer to where you're going or they give you clarity to where you don't want to go, right? That law of polarity, that shoot, this is really not what I wanted. Like, I am not available for this. I'm setting my boundaries and I'm going to say no to this. And I'm going to say, you know, yes to this other great opportunity. And I will tell you, when you start, you know, having these little experiments and taking these like small little actions or saying yes to some things and saying no to others, like this is truly where, you know, the universe and God and, you know, whomever, but this is where things start shifting. So if you're saying, nope, not available for that. Nope, not available for that. It's like, this is maybe a bad reference, but like, it's like dating. When you continually turn down guys that are, you know, don't talk to you in a respectful way, or, you know, are, you know, not loving or don't sympathize with your same views on something, when you say no to that type of person, guess what? The right type of person will start slowly coming into your life. Because when you say, no, I'm not available for this, like, oh, okay, got it. No, I'm available for respectful conversations, respectful situations in my life, in my career. And then you can start really creating little experiments about how you react to other people. So another really good example, perhaps if, you know, you don't really jive with someone in your office and they're annoying you or you know what I mean? We've all worked with those types of people where you're just like, oh, this person just rubs me the wrong way. You know, if you treat it as a little experiment, I mean, even for like, try it for a week, right? Start viewing everything as, okay, like maybe from their perspective or in a more loving perspective. And what I mean by that is, okay, well, they kind of cut me off in that meeting, but I'm going to choose to believe that this has nothing to do with me personally. And you don't even have to make excuses that like, oh, maybe they're having a bad day. Just choose to reframe it. I choose to believe that this has nothing to do with me. I choose to believe that the fact that they, you know, were talking badly about me has nothing to do with me. Because really sometimes, and most of the time, it really does not. You know, a lot of that can come from something someone is struggling with in themselves. But really, you don't even have to go there. Like, just start finding these experiments and then start looking for results. Start seeing how you feel. Start experimenting with meditation. Start experimenting with journaling. Start experimenting with affirmations. And what I mean by experimenting, like, I want you to start like logging. Okay, meditated today. Meditated 2 days in a row, 3 days in a row, skip today, whatever. Start watching how you feel and what feels right and what kind of decisions you're able to make when you start watching for those results. And so many times, you know, we let the busyness of life just kind of drag us down a little bit, where maybe we are eating healthy and maybe we do have a really great workout, but we're not really stopping to truly appreciate the results that, you know, that really bring all these things together. Like, you're working out, you're happier. When you're happier, you are more patient with your children, with your husband. When you're more patient with your children and your husband, things seem to be going really smoothly. Oh my goodness. My daughter didn't have a freak out when we, you know, when it was time to shut off the TV. Like, it's all these like little things like, oh my goodness. I noticed that when I am talking more lovingly or in a way that I would like to be talked to, my kids respond better. Like, when you stop to think like, okay, if I can just pause, right? Pause. Look at this as just an experiment. There's no right or wrong answer to this. I can choose to blow up or I can choose to be calm. And if I blew up, what were the results I got, right? Okay, that wasn't what I expected, or that's not the results that I wanted. Note to self, freaking out and screaming is not getting me good results, right? In anything. Or eating candy corn every afternoon is probably not doing anything great for my health. So this small little experiment I'm going to take literally is tossing the candy corn, right? It's like, it doesn't have to be serious changes. Like, honestly, the smaller and more adaptable, the better. Because then you start, you know, once you start making these little actions, taking these little experiments, like I said, it'll just snowball. And you'll start wanting to change more and more things in your life. And you'll start wanting to look at everything, like the grand scheme of things, like what would happen if I ran for the school board? Or you know what I mean? Or what would happen if I ran for office? You know what I mean? It's just this what if, this little experiment. What if I started a podcast? I'm telling you, the more you ask what if and start experimenting with little things in your life, the more comfortable it becomes. The more comfortable you are to take bigger and bolder and more courageous action. The kind of courageous action that brings the biggest results and your best life. That is all for me, folks, tonight. Thank you so, so much again for all of the prayers and good vibes and well wishes to my mom. I will be back next week, same time, same place. Blessings and good vibes to you all as well. Thanks, guys. Hey, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in today. And don't forget to tune in next Friday as we continue talking about the practical ways you can make your mind hustle for you. If you like what you heard, I would be so excited if you could leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and share your biggest takeaways. Speaking of takeaways, I'd love to continue the conversation over on Facebook or Instagram at Hustle Versus Flow, where I'll share with you some of my favorite books, quotes, and even products like Revive Essential Oils. Right now, I have an awesome 10% off code for first-time customers, HBFREVIVE10. Until next time, I'm Rachel Thomas with Hustle Versus Flow.